Praise the Lord. Message number 62. The title of the message, The Ten Commandments. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time you give us. Anoint this time and anoint my lips and give us your word that we need to live our life unto you. Lord, I pray you anoint each and every person who are going to listen to this message. Oh God, make the message clear, understandable, and applicable in the life of your people, Lord. Take full control, O God, and explain it well, O Lord. And I pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished, and you will reap the harvest in the life of your church and your people. Raise up, O God, more disciples. Oh God, and raise up more people to come out from darkness. As they hear your word, they will repent and they will commit their lives and way fully unto you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. That's all we ask and pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And I'll be going to read from verse 1 to verse 17, and as we read the commandments of God, we're going to explain it. Depend how much the Holy Spirit give us word and explanation of God's word. We know that the Ten Commandments is written by God. Moses made to the Lord two tablets of stone, and God, with his finger, inscribed the Ten Commandments for him. Moses gave it to the people of God, and we have the Ten Commandments in the Bible. We meditate on it, and we explain, and we obey God's command. Verse 1, and God spoke all these words. Verse 2, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. There is only one God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Our God is one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only true God is the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. He is one God, but he is a three person: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, you shall have no other God before me. There is no Lord for us except the Lord God Almighty. You shall have no other gods. The other gods are false religions, false teachers, false prophets. Even they have books, they have a lot of things similar to the Bible, but they are not the true God. The only word of God we find in the Bible. The other are false books and false teachers and false teachings. In verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth below, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. The Lord say here, you shall not make for yourself an idol, icon, photo of saints or false gods. Even some people, they have the photo of Mary, photo of the saints, even the photo of Jesus. This is a form of idol worship. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. With the Holy Spirit we worship Him, following His word that we can read in the Bible. Even the saints that some people they worship, those saints, Mother Mary, they are in heaven. They are saints like us. We should not worship them. We should not make an idols or photos or icons that carry their photos. Actually, no one knows their shape really. It is just a human imagination, devilish way of inspiration. They are in heaven, yes, but we should not make idols imagining their faces and trying to figure out how they look like, and then after that we worship these photos and idols. God said, do not make for yourself an idol, whether saints or plants or animal or something in the sky or beneath the water or on the earth, sun or moon. All these are idols. Some people, they worship cow, they worship elephant, they worship a human. These are idol worship. God say, I am a jealous God. Our Lord, the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin. His blood was shed for us. He suffered and died to redeem us. He paid the price for our life with His own blood and life. So He's a jealous God. He does not want us at all to go and worship other gods. He's a jealous God. If you do that, He will punish you, and He punish your children and your children's children for this sin to the third and fourth generation. But if you repent today, according to verse 6, but showing love to a thousand generation of those who love Him and keep my commandments. If we love the Lord, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You have seen people, how they worship idol. They go in front of the icon or the photo or the statue, and they kneel down at their knees or bow their heads. It means that we honor you, we revere you, we agree with you. In the same way, when you agree with the thing that is wrong, when they will tell you what is your opinion and you nod your head and you say yes, it's okay, it's fine, you are worshipping idol. Because Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. John 14:15. If you love the Lord, we should obey. We should not compromise. We should say no to sin and to the worldliness and to the worldly passion. If they will say, what is your opinion? It is okay, you say no. Shake your head and say no. Don't nod or agree. Because as the idol worshiper, they bow down. When you agree with sin, when you agree with wrongdoing, when you agree with what contradicts the word of God, you are worshipping idols. Another form of idol worship is when you love things more than God, or you cherish sin in your life. In book of Ephesians, chapter 5, in verse 3, he says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Three things he mentioned here: immorality, impurity, and greed. This should not be in God's people. Immorality, boyfriend and girlfriend, watching movies, pornographies, sexual perversion with animal, homosexuality, this is all sexual immorality. Impurity, any corruption, bribing, swindlery, deceits, malice, all these are impurity. This should not be in God's people. Or greed, love of money, love of material things more than God. The Lord said to the devil, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Don't love money and don't love material things, because this is one of the important idols in the world, the love of money, the root of all kinds of evil. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5 says, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a man is an idolater. Those people who live in immorality, impurity or greedy, they are idol worshipper, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. They don't have salvation. And that's here a warning to you. Maybe you have left the old religion, worshipping saint or worshipping people, but now you are worshipping another form of idol, immoralities, greed, impurity. This is another form of idol worship, love of money, lust for the world, lust for the lust for other gender. This all form of idol worship. There is also another form of idol worship mentioned in the scripture, in book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, I will read it from verse 1 onward to verse 11. What the word of God tells us, he says, some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me. They came to Ezekiel to inquire of him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. Where they put the idols? Not in the rooms, or in the temple, or in the church, but in their hearts. And that's why here, many born again Christians, they don't have idols in their houses or in the churches, but they have idols in their hearts. He says, son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? They came to inquire of God. They asked the prophet to pray for them and to tell them the will of God. And they came and they want the man of God, the prophet, to agree with them. Therefore speak to them, verse 4, and tell them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, when any Israelite sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face, and then goes to a prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him myself in keeping with his great idolatry. God knows what is in the heart of each and every one of you, of each and every one of us. If we have set up an idol, our own ambition, our own plans, our own agenda, our own wishes that contradict the word of God and the will of God, and we want to prove it, we go to the people and to the man of God, and some people, they move from meeting to meeting, from church to church. They want somebody to agree with the idols in their heart. When somebody said to them, it's okay, you can go ahead, they are happy because somebody agree with them. But the Lord say here, I'll be the one to answer them. How he will answer? He will oppose them. That is the plan of God. If you do your own, be ready to face God. He'll be the one to oppose you. He will oppose you so that he will break your pride and he will humble down. Verse 5, why he will do this? I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel who have all deserted me for their idols. See, I'll do this so that I will recapture their hearts. The heart of the people now is not with God, with the worldly things, with the future, with their ambition, with their own plans and will and agenda. Everyone has his own projects and working hard to achieve it, knowing that not the will of God, but still they go on because their heart is already fully occupied with things not of God. And God say, I will oppose you more in order to recapture your heart, because you have deserted me and went away, and I am looking to bring you back to me. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, repent, that's what I am going to tell you, repent, turn from your idols and renounce all your detestable practices. Many people, they have detestable practices, love of worldly things, love of fame, love to have a good name, love parties, love much entertainment. It's becoming an idol. Facebook become an idol. Boyfriend become an idol. Birthday parties become an idol now. All people, programs and agendas, practices. God say, repent of all that. Renounce them all. Things that not go with the word of God. Renounce them all. Verse 7, when any Israelite or any alien living in Israel separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. He say, if a person separates himself from me, people know, even they call the Christian, but they are separated from God. Because the heart is not for the Lord, it's for the world. It's for the ambition. It's for the pleasure. It's for their money. It's for doing our own projects, not for the Lord. He says, the Lord, you have separated yourself from me by your idols. But he says, I will answer him myself. I will answer you, say the Lord. The Lord is going to answer if you will not repent. He will oppose you. He says in verse 8, I will set my face against that man and make him an example and a byword. Everyone will look at you and he will laugh if you will not repent. You will do your own. You go after your own will and pleasure and plans. God will make you an example of laughing stock. People will see you and laugh on you. A byword. a pitiful person. People will laugh. I will cut him off from my people. Then you will know that I am the Lord. People who do their own ways of life, finally, even after months or years, even after 10 years, as they pursue their idols, they end up with destruction. In verse 9, what more the Lord says in Ezekiel 14, verse 9, and if the prophet is enticed to utter a prophecy, if those people, they go and they ask a prophet about what they are doing is correct, if the prophet says is correct and it is wrong, I, the Lord, have enticed that prophet. He say, I told him to say that. I give him the word to agree. Why did the Lord do like that? And I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. He said, the prophet who want to agree with that person, because now many people like Balaam, they want to satisfy the people. People, they are giving money, they are giving gifts, they are giving tithes. So if I say to this person no, he will go away. He will be upset with me and he may not come to the church. And after that, I will suffer. So I will tell him something good, you know, make him feel good. And also, in some way also, I will make it in a way that God also will feel good. No, that is not will work. If you condone with the people's sin, God is going to be against you. God is saying, we have destroyed him. Verse 10, they will bear their guilt. The prophet will be as guilty as the one who consults him. If you condone with the people's sin and agree with them, you will be destroyed by the Lord. Then the people of Israel will no longer stray from me, verse 11, nor will they defile themselves anymore with all their sin. They will be my people and I will be their God, declares the sovereign Lord. Now how God will bring those people back from idol worship? When they do their own, they go to the churches and prophets and men of God who agree and condone with them. What God will do? Even he inspire the prophet, the false prophet who want to keep their good relation with the people on the account of God's word and his commands. God will let him also agree with the people's sin, but later on he will strike him. He will destroy him as God destroyed Balaam, because he loved the wages of wickedness. False teachers know many. They will move with the dollar, with the holy dollar movement. Whoever gave, whoever offer money, they will move into that direction. And they will agree with their sin. And always I say, if I preach and teach, and if you hear my messages, and you are not upset with me, some people should be sad. Some people should be upset, because if our teaching will not combat the idols that the people set up, not only in their house but in their hearts, then our mission is a failure. If we continue to speak the word of God, then surely, continuously, people will be upset with what we teach. Some people must be upset so that to confirm that we are speaking the word of God. If everyone is happy with this message, then I am not doing well. I am compromising. But I am sure that many who will get upset, they will be going to repent, because I am going to pray for you. You will listen to abide with the teaching so that God will bless you. Take it even if it is hurtful, the message, painful. If it is hard, take it by heart. This is good to cleanse the idols from your heart. Let's go back now to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and let's read verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Many people, they misuse the name of the Lord. They will swear, and they will swear lies, and they will tell oath. And every now and then, they will mention the name of God in vain. Oh my God. All this, they are saying it without giving reverence and respect to the name of the Lord. They use it lightly. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to verse 37, again you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this come from the evil one. Do not misuse the name of the Lord. Carefully watch your tongue and mouth. Some people, they're using it as an expression when they speak. They mention the name of the Lord, but without any spiritual commitment to God. Be careful. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. Even when you pray, you must be careful what you are saying to God. God is a friend. He's the King. He's the Redeemer. But he's a generous God. Don't misuse his name, or don't use his name in a wrong way or for wrong purpose. Amen. Next command. Exodus 20, verse 8 to verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservants or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God created heaven and earth in six days, and he rested on the seventh day. He called the seventh day the Sabbath, and he made it holy. He blessed it, and he made it holy. How we apply the Sabbath day? 6 days we work, 1 day we rest, we give it to the Lord. What we learn from here, not that we rest only, but we have to work. 6 days you have to work, and you have to finish your work. How you finish your work? You have to work diligently. Early wake up, don't waste time, do your assignment well, make your schedule well, fulfill all your duties in 6 days, and keep the 7 day for rest. You rest from your work, you be with the family, not only you, your household, your spouse, your children, those who are with you, they should rest. Those who are under your care, they should rest. The servants, the employee also, they should rest. Because 6 days you should work, 7 days God had blessed the 7 days. Some people, they work, they say, oh, because we don't have time. God going to bless you if you will not work, not if you will work. You work hard on the 6 day, on the 6 days of the week. But on the Sabbath, on the 7th day, you rest. God will bless you if you obey and abide with His command. 24-hour rest. We have time with the family. We rest physically. We enjoy with the children. We have fellowship with the children, with the spouse, and also we go and have worship with the rest of the church family. We use the Sabbath for that. Sabbath also, we use it to sit down with the Lord and speak with God. Many of the people, they are so hectic in their schedule, but they miss their appointment to sit with the Lord. Not only to pray, but to listen to God. What He is going to say, what He is planning to do for you. That is here the importance of the Sabbath. You refresh yourself, you rest from your tiredness, and you prepare your mind and thought for the next coming week. Let's go back to the rest of the Ten Commandments. Verse 12. The Word of God says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Why God say honor your father and your mother? Even Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, he say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. So here, the Lord says, honor your father and mother. Why? Because the father and the mother, they are the one. The mother is the one who is getting pregnant of the baby, carrying him 9 months, and then breastfeed him, and the father preparing all the things, working hard and provide for the family and the children to be raised up. One of the reasons to honor the parents is this, but the main reason that God say honor your father and mother, because the primary duty of the father and the mother, in addition being a father and mother physically to provide feeding and nurture the children, the father and the mother are called to be the priest for the family, that they are the one responsible to nurture the children and raise them in the fear of the Lord and teach them the way of God. That's what he say, honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And also according in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 3, he said that it may go well with you. What he mean here, to honor the father and the mother, to honor what they taught you from word of God. As you following it, as you obey what they taught you, then it will go well with you, and you will live well and long in the land, and you will be prosper. Amen. So here the commands of the Lord, to honor the parents, it comes from the point that the parents, they are the ones responsible and commissioned by the Lord to teach the children the word of God. So God is telling to the children, obey what your mother and father are telling you from my word, from my commands. And that's what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, God's commission to the parents. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So here very clearly, you see, impress them on your children. So as the parents are impressing the word of God on the children, God is telling to the children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that's right. So that you live long life and it will go well with you. It will go well with you when you obey your father and mother who teach you the word of God. Now the question is, if your father and mother does not teach you the word of God, or they are non-believer and they don't follow God, so how you will honor them? You respect them as they are your parents. You help them in their needs. If they are not able to be sufficient for their living, you are called to help them as much as you can. But you are not called to listen and obey their wrong teaching that is not based on the word of God. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, and verse 18, in regard to this point, if your parents are not following God or does not teach the word of God to you, you still respect them, but don't follow what they follow. Don't follow the practices that they practice. In verse 18, Ezekiel 20, verse 18, and verse 19, I said to their children in the desert, do not follow the statutes of your fathers or keep their laws or defile yourselves with their idols. Now here the Lord clearly said, he said to the children, do not follow. He did not tell them, honor your father and mother. So honor your father and mother who taught you the word of God. Honor the word of God that you receive from them and obey it. But if they have taught you idols, don't follow that wrong teaching. You still respect them, honor them, help them, provide for them if they are in need, but don't follow what they are teaching or following from wrong practices that contradict the word of God. But follow the Lord. I am the Lord, verse 19, your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws. That's what God say. In Matthew chapter 10, he say in verse 37, Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Why he say that? Because at the time of Jesus, he was preaching to the Jewish, to the Pharisees. The teaching of Jesus was contradicting what the Pharisees are practicing and teaching their children and the rest of the Jews. So to his followers, he said, if you are going to obey your mother and father and follow their custom and tradition and practices, you are unworthy of me. You don't deserve me, that the Lord say. Because you follow your father and mother and follow their wrong teaching. We'll go back now to the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 verse 13. You shall not murder. In the New Testament, the word of God say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21 to verse 22, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Yes. We should control our anger. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. So anger, rage, is some sort of murder. If you are not controlling yourself in your anger, and speaking bad or raging against the people, then you are murdering them. Exodus 20 verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Adultery is sex outside the marital life. Even sex before marriage is adultery. Even if they are going to marry, that sex before marriage between those who are supposed to get married is adultery. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So even watching, looking, pornography is all sort of adultery. What more about adultery? In Matthew 5 verse 31 and 32, it has been said anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for matter unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Now here adultery, if the divorce based on unmarital unfaithfulness is also adultery. Marrying a divorced woman is also adultery. And in the book of Luke, the teaching of Jesus in the same subject, he say Luke, and let us read chapter 16 and verse 18, he say, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. And the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So here, adultery is linked with divorce and the marriage. We need to be careful when we approve such things. The scripture hardly agree about divorce and hardly agree about remarriage. We have to read the scripture carefully so that we will not be fallen to trap and approve divorce and adultery and approve remarriage and it is adultery. Also, we can read about the same subject in Mark chapter 10 and verse 10 and 11. When they were in the house, again the disciples asked Jesus about this. They asked about the divorce and the remarriage. Verse 11, he answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. So here adultery is linked with divorce and remarriage. So here we have to be very, very careful. Now here, there is no force that you cannot live with that person. But then, you are restricted from divorce and remarriage. No one will force you to live with someone who is unfaithful. But if you go to divorce, you will be liable for remarriage. In that case, you are falling into adultery the same. So here, committing adultery now is not only due to premarital sex or extramarital sex, but divorce and remarriage is associated with adultery. And that's what the church fell now. Many churches approve that, and the Lord's word is not clear. It's very clear here that we cannot go for it. In one place he say, if the divorce based on marital and if it is based on marital unfaithfulness, that is acceptable. But in other places, that if there is a divorce and followed by remarriage, whatever the reason, the Lord say it is adultery. So here, what we follow safely, and that is the will of God. God does not want families to be broken, because families with a husband and wife and children, they are the image of God. When the people, they see the family intact, they can see God clearly. When the church allow divorce, and then the church also allow remarriage, the picture of the church will be disturbed, because there is sin and that is adultery. If there is unfaithfulness, we counsel those people, but we don't approve divorce. If one of them is not willing to repent, or still with the other partner, we don't approve divorce. We respect the person who has been victim of that marital unfaithfulness, and we support him spiritually, and we approve that he does not need to live with his partner who is doing adultery. But we not allow him to go for divorce, because that will make him liable later on for remarriage, and after that fall into sin of adultery. Remarriage is something we consider if the spouse is already dead. Then we consider that the person possibly he can remarry. Otherwise, with such verses that we have from the book of Mark and Luke and Matthew, it's very hard to agree with divorce and agree with remarriage. The Lord say in Matthew chapter 19, they were speaking about the same matter to him, and verse 4, he say, haven't you read? He replied that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God had joined together, let no man separate. But he is telling here that that picture, that image, the two become one, family, husband and wife and children, that is the image of God. When we say that our Lord is one, but he is three persons, Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, Yes, we believe in one God, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the family is intact, Father, and Mother, and children, they are Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The people, the non-believers, they can see the true image of God with the unity of their family. They are one. But when we allow divorce and remarriage, that picture that God wants to preserve for the church is lost. And devil will use the divorce and remarriage to bring the people away from the will of God and keeping them in idol worship. In verse 7, Matthew 19:7, why then, they ask, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. The Lord say, it was not this way from the beginning. God did not intend that there will be a divorce and remarriage. It was not like that from the beginning. God does not want the picture of the family will be disturbed so that the image of God to the people will be not disturbed. When the image of the family is disturbed, the image of God will be disturbed. When the family is intact, God's image also intact to the non-believer, and they will know the will of God. The will of God is one God, also one wife, one husband, no divorce, no marriage. If we agree about that, then what God say, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. Then if there is hard heart, then we don't need to speak about salvation. There is no salvation. There is no salvation if your heart is hard and approve these things. We need to repent. Even if it is caused that we suffer the rest of our life, even if there is a person who is married, his wife or husband is unfaithful, but God called him himself to be faithful to him to deserve eternal life. That is the cross that he need to carry. To keep their family intact is the cross that the Christian church and the families, the Christian family, should bear with the Lord. So the image of God will be clearly portrayed to the world around us. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. He says, you shall not steal. Stealing is taking things without permission. taking things of not your right. Cheating in your place of work. Taking what you don't deserve is all stealing. Also, non-willingness to bring your tithe and offering what is due to God, you don't give it, is also stealing. Because according to Malachi chapter 3, God says, will man rob God, yet you rob me? In what? In tithe and offering. When we don't give what is due to the government, also we are stealing. So do not steal. You shall not steal. Exodus 20 verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You should not tell lies or slander or gossip with the wrong things you are saying. Slandering and giving false testimony or false witness, this is not acceptable. God will not be pleased if we Live in such a way, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Whether believer, non-believer, brother, non-brother, you should not tell lies. Verse 17, Exodus 20:17, the last of the Ten Commandments, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You shall not covet. Coveting is desiring to get, to have something as your neighbor is having. You see your brother having a good car, you covet his car. Oh, your car is good. Why I don't have this car? This is coveting, this is sin. Or you look to somebody having a nice husband or a nice wife. Oh, his wife is good, her husband is nice. You should not covet other things, the other people things. You should look unto the Lord that has fixed our eyes, and to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let us see whatever God had given us is perfect. We should be satisfied and thankful and contented and happy with what God had given us. What God has given you, be thankful to the Lord. Don't covet other things. Don't covet other people, things or belongings. That is sin. Paul say about coveting in Romans. Romans chapter 7 verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. He say, I would not know what is coveting if the law did not say, do not covet. Do not covet is do not desire something that not for you, for others. Don't desire it. Because when you desire, you will be pushed to do something wrong. In the book of Joshua chapter 7, when Achan sin against the Lord by stealing some robe that was devoted for destruction. When he saw the robe again and he saw the wedge of gold on it, let's read Joshua chapter 7 and verse 20 and verse 21. After Joshua confronted him and he asked him, tell me what you have done, do not hide it from me. Verse 20, I can reply, it is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. He say, I coveted them. When he coveted them, what he did after that? He took them. You know, the mission of God to the people of Israel, that they will devote the whole city to the Lord. So they have to look forward to destroy everything. But when he saw Achan, I'm just imagining, he just see it on the sideway. He turned from his mission that God called him forward. He goes sideways, side the tracks, because when he covered those things, he was attracted to get it. So he lost his mission and vision and went sideways, wrong track. And that's some of you, when you are walking in the Lord, and then all of a sudden you are coveting certain things. You hear somebody want to do this, and somebody going to that place, and and someone is getting that things, or someone had already get that, and you covet what they are doing or covet what they are having, and you want to do the same, you move away from your mission that God called you forward heavenly in Christ Jesus our Lord, and go sideways and get a trap with the trap of devil, because you already covet and get hot on things God did not call you to touch it or get it, and fall into sin and destruction. Do not covet. Let's come to pray. And I pray that God will really convict you with His Word. Through His Word, the Ten Commandments that we have read and discussed, and according to what the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. Some of this I discussed not in my mind to speak up, but the Holy Spirit convinced me and convicted me to speak it. This teaches us things how to live a true victorious Christian life away from sin, living in holiness, in cleanness, being honest toward God and His promises. God really wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. You abide and follow His word and you will be blessed. Lord, I pray, I give you thanks for your word, and I pray for everyone who hear the message. I pray for a conviction that come from you, that the message had been sent according to the needs of your church and your people. Use this message mightily, Lord, and let it reach, O God, those who are waiting to hear your word and those who need this message. Lord, I pray for a fruit. I pray for deliverance. I pray for salvation. I pray for people set free and get sanctified. I pray for people, they will draw near to you. People, they will raise up as a disciple and workers and servants of yours. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and spread it all over the world. And let be glory to you and honor, and receive the fruit that you desire from sending this message. Oh Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us. And keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.